sermon today is God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We'll take a look at the lesson now. And by the way, I'm Pastor Rick.
Hey.
It's nice to meet you all. Okay. It's been a while. There's a picture here. This is Jesus, the Sermon on the Plain, as Pastor Robert explained last week. All right. An old woodcut. But we take a look at the gospel, and it starts with, "But to you who are listening," to you who are listening, are we listening for God's voice? How can we hear God's voice? Matthew Henry says, "He that has an ear, let him hear. Those that diligently listen to Christ shall find he has something to say to them, well worth their hearing." Now we primarily hear His word, Jesus' voice, we hear it in the Bible. So do we read our Bibles? How many minutes a day?
15
to start with. Do we attend Bible study? Do we listen to sermons or play with our phones or daydream during worship? Do we empty ourselves of our opinions, attitudes, and prejudice when we hear God's word? Or do we say, "I know what I think and I'm not going to change"? I don't care what you think. I care about God's word. Amen? And if it irritates you, it's not me, it's Him. Amen? But we also hear God when we pray. Gordon T. Smith has written some wonderful books on prayer. And he said, "Prayer needs to be listening prayer. For so many, prayer is talking to God rather than communion with God. Discerning prayer requires that at times we simply shut up and remain silent in the presence of God. We need quiet time to hear God's voice. And we all have quiet time, right? That's the problem, right? We're all so busy, we can't set aside a quiet time. So I'd encourage you to do that. And when you do that, don't focus on just asking God for things, but focus on being in relationship and in communion with God. Just focus on His presence. And then we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Bob Bewdley says, "Only those who have the indwelling Spirit and are sensitive to His prompting can understand these spiritual truths because they are so different from the world's. An intimate relationship with Jesus is needed in order to hear His voice. Whether it's His word or prayer, we need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ." And I like this picture here. Just sitting here talking to Jesus, okay? And make time to do that. Make time. And I know it's hard, especially with the moms with kids. You know, I'm going to have some time with Jesus, and all of a sudden there's kids screaming and doing what kids do, okay? We continue with the verse. "I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." I think maybe we should just skip that verse, don't you? No, we're not going to, all right? That's a joke, all right? And this is the gossip. This is the good news, right? This is the good news, all right? And I got a picture here. That's a truck driver. And this truck driver was in Broken Bow, Nebraska, and he was tired, so he went into a diner to eat. And he's sitting at the bar, and he's eating his food, and all of a sudden three bikers come in, these Hell Angel kind of like guys. And they come in. One of them grabs his hamburger and starts eating it. The other guy starts eating his French fries. And another guy picks up his coffee and starts drinking it. Well, the truck driver doesn't do anything. He just remains quiet. He gets up from the counter, takes his bill, puts the money on the cash register, and walks out. So the waitress goes, and she puts the money in the register, and she's looking out as the truck driver leaves. And one of the bikers says to her, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" And she said, "I don't know about that, but he sure ain't much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot." That's kind of how we would handle it, right? Okay. Bob Yulee says, how are believers to do this? 1, do good to those who hate you. 2, bless those who curse you. 3, pray for those who mistreat you. 4, turn the other cheek. 5, give away your clothes. 6, give to all who ask. He goes on to say, these are to be done even in the presence of abuse by others. We act in such a way because of who we are in Christ, not how we are treated. Our witness of sacrificial self-giving love is even more powerful in the face of abuse, i.e. Christ's rejection and death on the cross. But once again, our relationship with Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary if we're going to do this. We have to be in relationship with Him. Me and Christ and Christ and me. And remember that. If you don't remember anything else, remember that Christ is living in us, okay? And He's the one who makes the difference. It's not us. It's Him in us, okay? We need a ghost, right? By the way, I was hesitant about that song because I thought it might offend some people, but it's so true, and you'll see when I'm preaching the sermon, we need the Holy Ghost. And you can call it Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, but we need Him, absolutely, okay? Charles Spurgeon says, ours it is to persist in loving, even if men persist in enmity. We are to render blessing for cursing, prayers for persecutions. Even in the cases of cruel enemies, we are to do good to them and pray for them. We are no longer enemies to any, but friends to all. We do not merely cease to hate and then abide in a cold neutrality, but we love where hatred seemed inevitable. We bless where our old nature bids us curse, and we are active in doing good to those who deserve to receive evil from us. Where there is where this is practically carried out, men wonder, respect, and admire the followers of Jesus. This is our witness, because this type of love obviously does not come from us. It's so unusual. Many years ago in my other life, when I was young, I was in the bread business, and this is me and my bread truck, all right? That's a joke, okay? Although my boys would say, yeah, that's his truck, all right? Right. But
it was actually a horse drunk.
That, exactly. That's what Ricky and Ryan would say. All right? So I put that up so you guys could fire some darts at me, but it's okay. I got thick skin, okay? But anyway, I was really good, and I talked about it on Wednesday. I was a great salesman, but I was ruthless. And if somebody did something to me, the rule I live by is I would do twice as much to them. And I did. And I sold a lot. I sold a lot that with that mentality. But that's the world's mentality. But then I was born again and I quit drinking. Well, needless to say, the way I lived before, I had a lot of enemies, right? So one day, mind you, it's right after I've been born again, there's this woman named Jackie who's a competitor, and I see her in the back of her truck, and she's just sitting on the bumper, and she's completely distraught. So I go up to talk to her. She has a bruise on her face. I go up and talk to her, and I said, Jackie, what's the matter? And she said, my husband abused me last night. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, just a minute. So I went and I called Robin, and I told Robin the situation, and I said, she's got a couple kids. Can we take them in? And Robin said, yeah. So then I go back and I talk to Jackie, and I say, Jackie, we can put you in one of the kids' rooms with your kids if you need a place to stay, because you can't stay there, okay? And she knew she'd been bad-mouthing me, and she just started crying. Well, she ended up staying with somebody else, but I say this not to pat me and Robin on the back. It wasn't me. It was Christ in me, okay? We can't do that without Jesus. I would never have done that before. I would have rejoiced that she was having problems, okay? But, because I know how I was, and I know who I am without Jesus Christ, okay? But with Him in us, He changes everything. And Jackie got to see a little bit of Jesus that day. Amen? And no, that was not my bread truck. Verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. This is unique to Christianity, to do good without any expectation of repayment. Matthew Henry says, to love those that love us has nothing uncommon in it, nothing peculiar to Christ's disciples. For sinners will love those that love them. There is nothing self-denying in that. It is but following nature, even if it's corrupt state, and puts no force at all upon it. It is no thanks to us to love those that say and do just as we would have them. And if you do good to them that do good to you and return their kindness, it is from a common principle of custom, honor, gratitude, and therefore what thanks have you? What credit are you to the name of Christ, or what reputation do you bring to it? For sinners also that know nothing of Christ and his doctrine do even the same. So we are called to be different. We're called to be much different. We are commanded to do good for those we don't know, who may even dislike us. And the world has a right to expect us to be different. And don't we say, well, the world shouldn't expect, I'm just a human, right? I'm a sinner. They have a right to expect more from us, because we carry the name of Jesus Christ, right? Charles Spurgeon says there's a legitimate reason why the world, the church, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself may expect more from Christians than from the rest of mankind. And the first is because they profess more. Professions should always be supported by facts, or else they are deceits, fakes, and hypocrisies. A Christian professes himself to be a renewed man. He has learned the evil of sin, repented of it, and fled from it to Christ Jesus. He professes to have been pardoned and to have received a new heart and a right spirit. He professes also to be a child of God and an heir of heaven. Other men do not profess this. Now, Christian, if you profess this, your life must prove it. If you profess this, your life must prove it. There's an old saying, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? How do we treat people? Are we more loving and kind? Are we relatively nice to them to their face, but talk about them when they're not around? When we think no one's listening? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Someone is listening, and his name is Jesus Christ. He hears every foul thing we say, every bad thought we have about someone. He knows. So think before we speak. Amen? Verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. This is an ongoing command in Greek. It's not a one-shot thing. I got a picture here. Isn't that cool? All right. That's the best picture I could get for that. But a mother heard her son, her seven-year-old son, crying in the bedroom. So she goes in there, and his two-year-old sister has him by the hair. So the mother arranges for the little girl to let go of his hair. And the little boy's upset, and she says, it's okay. She didn't know what she was doing. She's only two. So he nods, and then the mother leaves the room. Then he hears the little girl screaming. And the mother comes in, and the little boy says, now she knows. Okay. Once again, isn't that how we react? Who do we hurt when we hold a grudge, though? We hurt ourselves, right? Bob Udley says, anger, hatred, and other emotions of the flesh can rob even believers of peace and contentment. They can also open a spiritual door for Satan to attack. We must give the pain to God. Often our love breaks down the barriers and provides an opportunity for witnessing. Our forgiveness releases a joy in us and guilt in the abusers. So it works on us, but it also works on them, all right? I heard a story about a young lady. This is from the BBC, British broadcast, and she's a teenager, so she falls in love, and she gets her boyfriend's name tattooed on her stomach in Chinese, okay? And a couple months later, guess what happens? They break up, right? Who could have guessed, right? So it's bad enough she has the name tattooed in Chinese on her stomach, right? Well, then she goes to a Chinese restaurant, and she finds out that it means supermarket. Tell me that won't ruin your day, okay? So think twice before you get a tattoo, okay? You could just change your name. This is a guy with his new girlfriend, and he's got Emma across his forehead. So think twice before you get tattoos, amen?
Amen.
The problem with love is that we all think we know what it is. All of us want it. None of us do it that well. And most of us believe we do it as good as everyone else. So when we think about the love of God, we really don't have a clue, because that's real love, right? And you're saying, Pastor, this is a hard saying. How can we love like God? Surely Jesus doesn't expect us to really do good for our enemies. After all, I'm not as bad as such and such a person. I'm much better than Pastor Robert. Okay. That's a joke. The people who know me laugh. The other ones are going, man, that's cruel. Okay. But Spurgeon says, too many persons judge themselves by others. And if upon the whole they discover that they are no worse than the mass of mankind, they give themselves a mark of special commendation. They strike a sort of average among their neighbors, and they cannot pretend to be the very best. Yet if they are not the very worst, they are pretty comfortable. Haven't we all thought that? I'm not as bad as so-and-so, okay? But is our standard other people's behavior? No. Our standard is Jesus Christ. That's our standard. Christian, our standard is Jesus Christ. If we profess this, our lives must prove it. And this, the word is missing, but Jesus is the standard of beauty is what it says here. I think we've all seen senior saints that have been with Jesus a long time, and they have a beauty and peacefulness about them, right? And I hope I live long enough to get that, okay? But that's what happens when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And you'll say, but Pastor, I just can't do it. And what I would say is, you're right. We can't. We can't do it. But he who is in us can. And you say that in recovery too. He who is in us can. Spurgeon says, the Holy Spirit who has come upon us is no influence which might be limited in its effect. He is a divine person who dwells with us and shall be in us, who shall set any limit to the power of that man in whom the Holy Spirit himself dwells. We got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Who's going to limit us? Nobody, right? All believers must never dare to say, that habit we cannot give up. We can and must overturn all the idols in our heart. We may never say, that height of devotion I can never reach. Brethren and sisteren, omnipotence does gird us. God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? It doesn't depend on us. All we have to do is work on that relationship with Christ. And he does all the heavy lifting. But the problem is, we want to do it on our own, right? That doesn't work. That doesn't, believe me, I tried quitting drinking so many times until 37 years ago I gave it to Christ, okay? Let him do the heavy lifting. Let me see, did I skip a page? Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked, Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, this is completely contrary to our sinful nature, okay? Eudley says we should exemplify the loving, giving family characteristics of God, not the self-centered, me-first characteristic of the evil one. Question to think about this week. Take this home with you. Are we becoming more loving and giving? Are we becoming more loving and giving? If we are, that means we're growing in Christ. Spurgeon says, the commands of Christ are not upon the legal tenor of do this and live, but upon the gospel system of live and do this. We are not to be attentive to the precepts in order to be saved, but because we are saved. Our master motive is gratitude to Jesus, who has saved us with a great salvation. That's why we do what we do, because of what he did for us. He died on a cross for us, right? That's why we become more loving and kind. And once again, as we preach so often here, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about just coming here on Sunday and punching our cards. It's about living in him and him living in us, and then we change. And we don't do the changing. He does. We need a ghost. Amen? I'm going to share a story about from The Hiding Place, written by Corrie ten Boom. This is her. She was Dutch, and her three sisters during World War II were hiding Jews from the Nazis so they wouldn't take them to concentration camps. Well, the Nazis caught up with them and put them into a concentration camp. And The Hiding Place is it's a hard story to read when they're in the concentration camp, what these women had to go through, okay? Betsy, her sister, died in the concentration camp. And they were so brutal, they would just stack up the bodies. And her sister disappeared, so Corrie snuck out at night and looked into a room, and there was a stack of bodies that they'd stripped because they were going to use the clothes. And her sister's body was there. That's how brutal it was, okay? Well, by God's grace, she lived through it, and she gave her testimony in Munich, Germany, and there was an SS officer, that's the secret police of Adolf Hitler, a Nazi, who was at the camp and in charge of them. And he came up to her afterward and said, "Fraulein, do you think that, as you said, Christ has washed away my sins?" And he put out his hand. And she stood there paralyzed. Finally, she prayed, "Lord Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And then, as she whispered the words, she felt her hand reach out to grasp his. She said, "The most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang love for the stranger that overwhelmed even me." Was that Corrie ten Boom? No, it was Christ. That's how Jesus works, okay? That's how Jesus works. And when you do, when you encounter something, you encounter his peace that is beyond all human understanding, okay? And I got a picture. There's Corrie ten Boom. She's deceased now, but she lived a long life, even with the brutality of the concentration camp. So, next one, please. Christian, Christ is our standard. He lives in us and empowers us to fulfill his commands. These difficult commands that he preached and we hear today, he gives us the power to do them. God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen.